This is a resume of Regina Trench, the Gallopin Major, and a doctor. The person I recognize as the Gallopin Major from previous correspondence may be incorrect.
Do you know it's 22 below?
The Galloping Major, we call him, so-called, because he would, when going into action, he would step off to the right and face us as we passed by, and as the last vehicle, the cook kitchens and the Red Cross wagon, etc., had passed, he would take off for the front line like the horse's tail was afire. And he'd go up there hell-bent. Hence, the Gallopin Major was his name. He had very good memory and knew many of us by his front name. Now, where do we go from here?
Who was he? Is that Rankin?
I have here Death Valley. Death Valley, I don't know whether the two are the same, Death Valley and the Sunken Road. The Sunken Road by reason of the fact that the water level in that valley was only, say, 3 feet to 4 feet deep. You dig below that, you're in the water. So we had trouble getting sufficient earth to fill the sandbags to create a trench. And that was a pet place for snipers. And we had to cross this. Let us assume that Death Valley and Sunken Road are both the same. For this purpose, however, we often had to try to go across this. And as mentioned, the German snipers were very active at this point. Abby Cairns and I were carrying something. I was in the lead, and he was following me. And a sniper missed me by possibly inches or foot, I don't know. I said, "Duck coming around that corner, Abby. Aye, aye, man. And that was his last words. The sniper that missed me hit you, or hit Abby. Now, I go from there to Joe Broughton. Joe Broughton had a hair lip. And he was a comic, a real comic in the outfit. And he was always my buddy. So we start off on this trench, but just before the 0 hour, he said, Jim, right, I'm gonna think and feel something's gonna happen. If you get hit, I'll sure as hell throw you a bandage. But if I get hit, for Christ's sake, throw one to me. Okay, Joe, let's go." And away we went. And sure enough, as we approached and almost got to Fritz Line, over comes a potato masher that landed between Joe and I, closer to Joe than to me. It caught him on the left side, right side of the face, and me in the, just below the left eye. Mine, of course, was only a scratch. I threw Joe a bandage and said, "So long, Joe, good luck," and away he went. Now, we can cut for a minute here, can we? Completing the capture of Regina Trench. And we were returning, prisoners already having been herded back. And as I was about to get into our headquarters, I asked where Dick was. "Hell, Jim, I heard he was missing, last seen wounded." So alone, I went on my, unbeknown to anyone else, I went back and I spent the whole night looking for Dick. I won't go into detail as to how, but you go around shell holes and you see a body. You see a body here and see a body there, and you touch them and feel them. No, that isn't Dick. And I was thankful I didn't find Dick. However, on towards morning, I see a German, possibly one of the artillery, looking through a telescope. And there's only one way he would be looking, towards our line. That gave me direction. and I fumbled my way back on the crawl all the way until I come what I considered close to our former line, which in the meantime had been occupied by British troops. And as I approached this line, I said, a little over whisper, hold your fire, hold your fire, hold your fire, meaning don't shoot, don't shoot. And evidently I was heard, and two or three of the British soldiers surrounded me. And as I approached, saying, don't fire, don't fire, two of them grabbed me, one on each shoulder. Who the bloody hell are you? 4 to 6 Canadians bat bombs. Okay, come on. Let's get a bloody hell out of here. Click. I was led back to the commander of the company concerned with the British Army. And he says, what were you doing roaming around out there all alone? I was looking for my younger brother, sir. Oh, that's sad. I hope you didn't find him. No, sir, I didn't find him. And I do not think he is there. Okay, you're going back so-and-so. Just sit down for a few minutes. We have a limber going down that way that'll give you at least a ride part way. I took this limber later on, and then I walked, and I was almost dead on my feet. I hadn't gone far when I see the galloping major. Hi there, Jim, where the hell have you been? Oh, God, Major, I can't tell you. Here, you sit right down where you are. I'll be back in a minute. So we came back with what we used to have to measure rum was a 50 cigarette tin. And he came back with that about 3 parts full. Here, drink this, it'll do you good. So I downed it, had a few more words. He says, I was talking to Dick just a little while ago. He's down there somewhere. I'll go and hunt him up for you. As I proceeded, I hadn't gone very far. I went down, I go. Of course, I was already tired, and the rum just knocked me out. All right. I don't know how long I was there, but when I woke up, I was on Dick's lap, and he had my head in his arms. Jesus. Dick had my head in his arms and my body on his knees. Jim, waking up, damn it. Waking up, sober up, where the hell have you been? He slapped my face gently from side to side. Jim, damn you, waking up. So I eventually came sober. Where the hell have you been? I said, I was out looking for you. Why, you dizzy, so you should have known I'd been all right. Did you have a look at yourself? Here, he pulled out his little steel glass used as a mirror. Have a look at yourself. I hadn't known this, but I had a cut just below the eye, and blood had trickled down on my cheek and onto my tunic, and I hadn't noticed. You're a pretty looking sight to be running around. And he chewed me out.